Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Linder. I'm the general manager of Buffalo Newspapers, and I'm also the editor of the Jasper County News. I hope that you're having a happy new year. I hope that you're having a great week. Kind of getting back rolling. We're getting into the first week of 2024, and with that comes episode 001 of the podcast. I'm so excited to be able to bring this podcast to everyone. It's a free podcast, and it's available on your favorite podcasting host app. Me personally, I use Spotify. I'm a Spotify guy. I dish out for the premium Spotify, but you can download it for free and you can listen to this podcast, or you can go to Podbean, which is our podcasting host. They have an app and it's available there. You can also head over to YouTube and you can check out the Jasper County News podcast there. That's free always, of course. And we're trying to get on Apple Podcasts right now. So if you're an Apple person, and I know that I am, but even though I don't use Apple Podcasts, I've got the Apple Watch and Apple earbuds and Mac and iPhone and all that. I have sold out to Apple for some reason. I used to be Team Android, but I switched over whenever I started editing and laying out the paper. It's just a lot more seamless for me, but I still use Spotify. I'm still hung up on Spotify. I've got way too many playlists and things like that on there, so I still use it. But you can listen to this on several different platforms. I've got links that are pinned to our Jasper County News Facebook page, and as those update, as we get on more platforms, I'll update that post there for you, and it's pinned at the top. So I hope that you listen to it on your favorite podcast and app. Anyway, let's dive into episode 001, right? And the first thing that we kind of discussed, man, is it hard for y'all to get back into a groove after the Christmas weeks and the New Year's and everything like that? For me, it is, man. It's been tough getting back into a groove. You get all this time off, and you know, this is my second year of being here in Jasper County in the Bay Springs area, and I'm devoting more and more time to being in Bay Springs, and because we have our Laurel Impact and Laurel office, but trying to spend more time here. And just moved here over Thanksgiving, close to Bay Springs, right on the edge of the Bay Springs line. One thing I discovered is everything seems to just shut down for some reason. Christmas week and New Year's week, especially restaurants and things like that. It all kind of, everybody kind of takes off, which is fine. Everybody deserves a break every now and then. But the city was kind of shut down, and because of that, there's not much news going on, but we still had a good paper. I think our Wednesday edition, the one that just dropped yesterday, I'm recording on a Thursday about 1 o'clock. We had a pretty good paper, I think, this week. And our top headline, and we're going to kind of get into it and get the bad news out of the way, is some skeletal remains. They were found of a missing man who went missing on December the 15th of 2022. The remains were believed, and I believe it's confirmed now, that it was of Mr. Patrick Prater. He went missing December the 15th of 2022. The Jasper County Sheriff's Department found those remains under a trailer in Vosburgh. And talking to the sheriff, Randy Johnson, he assured me that it was believed to be no foul play or anything like that was involved. I don't want to go into details of what happened there out of respect to the family and keeping that privacy, but I will say, and he reiterated, just keep them and Mr. Prater in your prayers and your thoughts and things like that. He had been missing for just over a year. The MBI and the Mississippi Crime Lab, they examined the remains via autopsy and things like that to believe, like I said, get the confirmation. I hadn't talked to him since we talked about what had happened and all of that. So, but I'm 99% sure that it was confirmed there. So just remember them in your thoughts there. Some other things that are in our paper, Miss Susan Hayes, she bagged a huge, huge buck on Christmas Eve. He ended up being 14 points, almost 200 pounds, like massive buck. I've got a paper right here, just looking at it. absolutely massive deer. Heidelberg is where she downed him. She said she had been tracking him for a couple of years, and he just got absolutely massive. She actually mentioned it, and it's in the article. He looked to be over 200 pounds before rut. So just a huge buck. And, you know, we talk about the Delta and North Mississippi having large bucks, but, man, Heidelberg, up in that area, and Paulding, and all up in that East Jasper area, has some huge, huge deer. And man, that is just a massive, massive deer. But you can read the full story. I got an interview with her last week, and she talked about how all that went down, and traveling nurse and things like that. So that was really cool, and thought it deserved a story. And yeah, it was pretty cool. We also have Jones College, the associate degree. Several students there got associate degrees at Jones College for nursing and things like that. We had several students from the Jasper County area in there. And Miss Teresa McCreary, who wrote the story, she actually interviewed a Stringer, former Stringer student there. So you can look at that story and see the students who were recognized from Jasper County right there. Some other news that I want to mention and I want to kind of commend to is Sunday night, Bay Springs, the city of Bay Springs had a fireworks show, and I attended that, and I had my daughter with me, and she loves fireworks, and I do too. But I just want to commend the city of Bay Springs, Mayor Donald Brown, the Board of Aldermen, all those people who helped put on that show. And that was a really, really good fireworks show Sunday night. I believe it started around 6:30, lasted 15 or 20 minutes. I think it was a really good show. It was really something to add to Bay Springs. I feel like as a whole, this kind of caps off the year of 2023 and seeing growth and activity in Bay Springs. The past few years, I think one thing that I had been told was there wasn't a lot that was going on in Bay Springs and in Jasper County, and it was almost stagnant. And over the years, we've seen a lot of things happen, and we've seen a lot of activity start, especially in Bay Springs, you know, with the formation of Bay Springs Main Street and kind of revitalization of the Chamber of Commerce, things like that. I know that Stringer's Chamber of Commerce joined the Bay Springs Christmas Parade this year, and it was massive. There was tons of floats and vehicles in the Bay Springs Christmas Parade, and then we've had a wind down and small business night, you know, things like that. You know, you had the Spring Garden Festival. We had a wildlife jamboree. We've had things that Up in Smoke, like the cornhole night and concerts and things like that. There's been a lot of stuff happen in 2023 where there's been a lot of growth, and I just want to commend everyone involved. You know, I'm on the Bay Springs Main Street Committee, but I play a really small part in it, and I have to give credit where it's due to everybody else on that board. Main Street, all of those people, I don't want to leave anyone out, the aldermen and supervisors and everyone. Seeing those people have a passion to want to see the city and the county grow, it's great to see. But over this 2023, man, you see people from Jones County and Smith County and Covington County come to Bay Springs because there's things going on. I think that is huge, and I think that is huge for the economy. I think it's huge for the community, for tax dollars coming in to the city and to the county and all of these things. And I just want to commend those people who are eager to see these things happen and see change. You know, I know there are people behind the scenes that are rooting these people on to keep moving forward, and I can't wait to see what 2024 and what happens to see continued growth with the city. So I'm excited for that, but I just want to kind of go off on a little tangent right there. It's episode 1. I mean, we're going to have these sometimes, and that's kind of how I fly. sometimes. But I just want to say that 2023 saw great things happen, and that's not even including Bayfest, which I think was highly successful this year. I was at Bayfest nearly every night. And it was just—it was fun to attend. It wasn't just fun to cover; it was fun to attend and be there. So, I'm super excited to see what 2024 has in store for Jasper County. You know, East Jasper—they had their Christmas parade. I don't want to leave them out by any means. East Jasper had a great year in its own right with Heidelberg football going to the state championship for the first time in history, winning South State. All of that, they had a great basketball season in 2023. You know, they had some things happen in East Jasper that were really good too. Their school district going to a B overall, Bay Springs. Both school districts, I believe, getting an A. I mean, there was a lot that happened. I don't want to offend anybody by missing out on something. So forgive me if I missed out on something else, but. Jasper County saw a lot of growth is what I'm trying to say, and I'm excited. Another thing that I saw, and I put it in our Wednesday edition of the paper, I thought there was a really good article by Mississippi Today. I think that it was relevant to Jasper County, and it was talking about as agriculture evolves in Mississippi, that the state is starting to lose its middle class of farmers. And one thing that I thought that was extremely relevant was our agriculture commissioner, Andy Gibson. He had a quote, and I've got her paper here that I'm trying to find the quote, actually, where he talked about 4-H. And I encourage you to go and pick up a paper and read the article. But, you know, there's some things that were really good in that article. But it talks about, and I'll read the paragraph straight from the article. It says, for one, farmers are getting older. As Green and two other MSU researchers wrote about recently, the average age of farmers in the U.S. grew from 50 to 57 since 1978. In Mississippi, the average is 59, talking about the average age of farmers. And it says the research looks at barriers for new farmers entering the trade, as well as programs like 4-H trying to engage younger farmers and reverse the aging trend. And I believe Gibson actually mentioned 4-H, and I just want to say Jasper County has a really good 4-H program. We have a really, really dedicated group of folks, and I think our supervisors also push the 4-H program. I know that they help them out as much as they can, and Kelby's there as our guy, our local guy here, but we have a really good program. And you know, growing up, I was involved a little bit in 4-H with rifles and shotgun and things like that in Wayne County. Wasn't so much the farming and stuff. I know in Wayne County there was a presence there, but I don't know if it's because of being at the supervisor's meeting so much or Kelby's just good at sending me stuff that I tried up my best to put in the paper whenever I can. But we have a really good program of really good students who they're always competing in national events and state events, and they're winning awards and they're doing things. And I think this article is really relevant to Jasper County because we are agriculture county, you know, poultry, agriculture, all that in Jasper County. We're made up of a lot of that, right? But the 4-H programs are really good here in Jasper County. I think they either go into Denver, some students are, either they're on their way to Denver or they just got back. But I know that they're going up there for like a competition and showing even right now. So there's a lot of good things in that. And so I encourage you to pick up a paper and read that article on agriculture and things like that. I thought it was really interesting. And I don't normally put other publication stuff in there in the paper, but I thought that was really relevant. The next thing for the state that I also put in the paper was Dr. Lance Evans. He was voted in as the state superintendent of education. You can read that article or that press release about him, and it gives some information about him. I know there was some controversy a few months ago about the interim state superintendent and all of that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't dive into that too much. So I don't want to sit here and give an opinion and be uneducated on that. But the State Board of Education did name Lance Evans the state superintendent of education. So there's that. On our sports side, this is what I enjoy the most, I think, out of everything. On the sports side, we've got basketball season, and all love to football, right? I enjoy football whenever it comes around. Do not get me wrong, but I love basketball. And I've joked with all of our coaches and people, I try my best to make my way around the county and try to get everybody covered. So I've got to see Silva Bay once. I've got to see Stringer a couple of times. I've got to see Bay Springs a couple of times. I got to see Heidelberg whenever they came to Bay Springs for the Christmas tournament. So I've gotten to see all four teams and gotten to take some photos of them and things like that. And if I was to give a quick overview, right, of the four teams, I think, or eight teams, counting the boys and the girls teams, I think that the Bay Springs girls have impressed me the most out of all the teams. Man, the Bay Springs girls are so good. They're so balanced. Obviously, we know Anna Patterson. She was named a Dandy Dozen. She's great, great athlete. But let me tell you, this is huge. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Zaria Keys. Man, she has had a couple of games, y'all. I would encourage you, if you haven't been to a game this year, go watch the Bay Springs girls. Zaria has had two 30-point games, plus 30-point games. The other night, she had, I believe it was a 34-point game. Man, she is absolutely killing it on the court. So if I had to pick right now of a team that can make it all the way and potentially win state, I would definitely pick the Bay Springs Lady Bulldogs. And that's not to discredit anybody else, because the boys are, they're really good. They played Taylorsville the other night, and I wrote an article on the girls and the boys, but the boys were kind of, I don't know, off balance. I kind of mentioned it to Coach Mackey. I felt that the Taylorsville Tartar boys kind of kept them off balance for a little bit. Eventually, they pulled away and won that game easily, but they have potential to make a deep run there. I don't want to knock them by any means. And as far as Heidelberg, like I said, I only got to see them once, and Bay Springs pulled away in both games. You can never discount those two programs, the Lady Oilers or the Oilers. I think they'll be fine as we get down the stretch in the district play and all of that, especially the girls. They have some talent there. Obviously, they made it to the state championship last year. They return a pretty good bit of core talent. They're young anyway. So I think they'll be fine. I think that the Lady Bulldogs are just that good. And plus, you know, it's a Christmas tournament. Everybody's out of school, and you never know how kids are going to react. I mean, it's Coach Todd Breedland at Laurel once told me, and it stuck with me. He's like, you know, you have to remember at the end of the day that you're dealing with 14 to 17-year-old kids, and you never know what happens. They might wake up and not have a good day, just like adults cannot have a good day some days, but you're still dealing with a 14 to 17-year-old kid. But I thought that Heidelberg, I think they'll be fine. Stringer, the boys and the girls, they're kind of in a rebuilding phase, I feel like. Both those programs, the boys and the girls. I know the boys were dealing with some injuries, and actually the girls were too. You know, the girls, the Lady Devils, let's just be honest, they haven't been too good the past couple of years. And I think that there's a rebuilding of the culture there and trying to get them back competitive. But, you know, I think Lance, Coach Lance Lowry, I think he can get them going in a direction that they need to go. It's just having patience and taking time with them to get them going there. And obviously the boys the same way. It's just getting them in the right mindset and things like that. And Coach Lowry, he's a defensive coach, so he likes to slow things down every possession counts and so forth. So, once again, though, I think they get into district play. I think they'll be okay, and they should make the playoffs. And you never know what happens once you make it to the playoffs. Silva Bay, you know, I thought the boys looked good. They actually beat Stringer the night that I watched them. You know, I think overall they look pretty good. They've got great player Brody Boyd. He had 19 that night. He looked good. Obviously, Coach Hampton, very good coach. He wants to see more out of them, and I can see it. I can see that the potential is there for them to be a really, really good team and to make a run. I think that's what Coach Hampton expects is his boys to make a run. And Coach Thornton, with the girls, he inherited a really, really, really young team, and that's what he's dealing with. But, you know, I covered Coach Thornton whenever I started in Hattiesburg, at the Hattiesburg and back, back in 2019, and Coach Thornton's resume speaks for itself. He knows basketball. He knows the game well. He's coached so many great teams out at Forest County and Purvis. He knows what he's got. He knows what he's dealing with. So I think, you know, you see Heidelberg and Bay Springs, we know that they can make runs. And then you got Stringer and Silva Bay that may be in a rebuilding phase or you can see the potential there. I think that's what you're dealing with those schools, those four schools. But I'm excited. I love basketball, and hoping that I get out and trying to make sure I cover everybody. It's tough, y'all. I'm the only one as far as it goes to cover sports in Jasper County now, and so it's tough trying to get out and make sure I get everybody covered. But I promise I try to keep up with everybody that I can. So other news that's kind of older, but I still want to discuss it, is the big one. It's football. Dan Brady resigns from Bay Springs pending board approval, which has been approved now. We can officially say everything has been approved. Dan resigns from Bay Springs. He then takes the Stringer head football position and athletic director position, which became available. He goes back home, essentially. You know, I talked with Coach Brady, and I feel like I can say this. Me and him are friends, you know, just besides off the field. Me and him have a good relationship, I feel like. And, you know, the one thing that he kept telling me was over and over again, it all comes back to being there with his family, being there with his kids who all go and attend Stringer. You know, I think that overall it was a good move for him because it opens up the door for Coach Roger Young. And I love Coach Young to death. He was a great assistant coach, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal head coach. And one thing that stands out to me with this move of Coach Brady leaving and going to Stringer and Coach Young being promoted to head coach is a lot of times when head coaches leave and they resign from a program, the cupboard is sometimes left dry. And the cupboard is not left dry at Bay Springs. Coach Young, he inherits a good program. Number one, they have a great culture. Number two, they have great players who are on the roster there, who have experience, who he can use, and he's going to have a great season in 2024. And overall, and I say this as not a knock on anybody else or any former coaches or anything like that, both programs are in really good places because of this move. I like that Bay Springs went on ahead and promoted Coach Young and said, you're the guy. You've been here. He's been there for over a decade, I think, because I believe he was there before Coach Brady took the Bay Springs position. So he knows the culture. He knows the kids, all of that stuff. So I really think it's a good move for both programs. So I'm excited to see what happens in 2024 and all that. And I know Coach Brady's excited to be with his family and be back to where he was an assistant and helped win a state championship there. You know, Stringer was a force back whenever I first started in sports photography and freelancing and things like that in the early 2010s, and I'm excited, and I hope they get back to that and to see them back to those days. And if anybody can do it, Coach Brady can make that happen. So I'm super excited for them and super excited for both programs, both Bay Springs and Stringer there. So some news that kind of broke today. Again, it's Thursday. And something that broke over lunch was Ole Miss Rebels running back Quinshon Judkins. He entered the transfer portal. In the past 2 years, he's rushed for 2,725 yards and 31 touchdowns. In 2023, he had 1,158 yards, I believe it was, on the ground with 15 touchdowns. He enters the transfer portal. I had heard rumors that he was already thinking about this earlier in the season. You know, there was kind of rumors floating that he might would enter the transfer portal. And with the NIL and money, and as what I've been told by a coordinator in the SEC, it's like the wild, wild west right now with the NIL and transfer portal and money floating around. It was kind of a shock, but kind of expected whenever I saw the tweet, everything started getting tweeting and breaking out. I wasn't too shocked that he entered the portal. You know, I know for some fans it might be a big shock, but for me it wasn't. It wasn't too much. The one thing that did kind of shock me was Jackson Dart coming back. I was a little surprised by that, but you know, it's a good surprise that he's coming back. I think that Ole Miss can take that next step and be a playoff team. With the playoffs expanding to 12 teams, I believe they would have been this year had it been a 12-team playoff. And I thought they were a good team. You know, take the Georgia game, there was a blowout. You know, I think if things would have went their way, maybe they would have competed with Alabama more. But an 11-win season, I watched a little bit of the Penn State Ole Miss game and thought, man, if this is the Ole Miss team that shows up in 2024, they're going to be really hard to beat. So, Judkins going to the transfer portal. Who knows what Lane Kiffin will do. Man, that dude, he is a troll on Twitter. You can go check out his tweets from Thursday today. And he's just a troll, man. He is a troll. In other news, and as we kind of wrap this up, semifinal games, if you're a college football fan, huge, huge games. Michigan and Alabama. Michigan defeats Alabama 27-20 in overtime. That's the one game that I watched from start to finish this year of the bowl games. Rose Bowl, two historic programs. If you're a football fan, you just can't beat that, right? I thought that Michigan just dominated the line of scrimmage. That's where that game was won and lost at. I know Alabama fans are going to point to the center, and yes, that played a huge part in that game, but that had been happening all year. If you watched any Alabama games, I don't know if it's just me because I'm a big boy and I like to look at the line of scrimmage, but man, their center struggled all year with snaps, and they paid the price for it against a really good front seven in Michigan. And then you had Washington and Texas. I was about to fall asleep near the end of that game, but that was also a really good game. Texas had every opportunity to tie that game up or to win it and near the end and just couldn't do it. so we get a Michigan and Washington national championship. I'm picking Michigan just because I think their front seven is going to give – Washington's O-line fits. Now that said, Washington had the highest graded offensive line all year. They are the number one offensive line, so I'm going to be watching that matchup, the front seven of the offensive line, because if they can give their quarterback, Washington's quarterback, some time in the pocket, Washington could carve them up. But I kind of think this is Harbaugh's year. In Michigan's year to bring home a national championship. So I'm picking Michigan. I might be dead wrong, but let me know who you get, who you pick, if you're going to go with Washington or if you're going to go with Michigan in the national championship. So anyway, I hope that you have a great week. I hope that you have a great 2024. We're going to wrap this thing up. Again, this is episode 001 of the Jasper County News Podcast. I'm Kevin Lindsay. I'm the general manager and editor of the Jasper County News. You can find this podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also subscribe to the Jasper County News. Come into the office, get you a yearly subscription or 2-year subscription. Very, very inexpensive, and you get to find out what's going on in Jasper County. So I hope that you do that. You can also check us out on impact601.com for news around Jones, Jasper, and Smith County. You guys have a great, great week. We'll see you next time.